Thank you very much, Jerry. Fantastic. Appreciate it. Okay, who wants to kick us off with some good questions for Jeremy? Anybody, anybody? Okay, I've got something that I was thinking about as you were reading, actually, was about your process, and I think it's because knowing you a little bit and learning undo. There's so many different ways, I think, that writers approach beginning their work. Mm. And we hear from our mentors and from our teachers so many different types of method. And you know, maybe starting with a character, maybe just writing, getting an atmosphere, or, and I'm beginning to wonder, starting with quite a firm structure, knowing, having an end, having a plot, and then working everything in, and it may change along the way. If you could just talk a little bit about maybe how you do it, and also has it changed over while you've been sort of working on various pieces?
With novels, I'm quite interested in sort of trying to structure the plot of the novel, as I'm sure some of you can imagine, you've worked with me, before I start writing. And also another thing I often say to people I'm working with is, you know, obviously, you know, there's no writing, just rewriting. And with short stories, it seems to be completely different. I've had short stories where I dreamt the short story in perhaps sort of a few images. This is a short story I've got about an American hostage negotiator who has to negotiate the release of his wife from some disabled terrorists. And that came initially a couple of images in a dream, and I sort of realised very instinctively on waking up the kind of narrative that surrounded, that you know, you could situate this image I'd seen in. The story whose opening I've just read from, that came to me on a bus going to Wandsworth, hence he is Wandsworth Borough Schools Medal winner at age 9. Short stories often come in that very instinctive way, and I tend not to rewrite them a tremendous amount. I tend to do the opposite, which is just sit there at the desk struggling until it comes out right. So next time I say, "Oh, you need to rewrite this," you can just laugh in my face. And it's funny when you see that, when you realise how a short story that you came up with very instinctively actually relates to your real life. I was once besotted by this girl, and I thought she was completely out of my league. And then just so happened a few years later at a wedding at the Savoy, to just add a sort of certain sense of poetry to it, that a certain sense of unreality about it, that she made her intentions clear, so I was quite pleased. And then when we actually finally got together, I realised I had nothing to talk about. And I didn't put two and two together. I was sitting on the bus to Wandsworth, and the idea about a general knowledge champion came to me. And then it's only looking back I realised that I was addressing those kinds of feelings, those unexpected feelings that I'd had about this relationship, such as it was.
And that's very interesting. I think a lot of, in discussions with other writers, we realise that what we're writing is so often about ourselves, and it often takes quite a lot of time and rereading and reworking and distance to get to that point where we realise that it's actually about us, however different the characters are or different the situation is. I mean, let's talk about The Smiling Phone, but in some ways, you knew it was about you, but then in how different did you have to consciously make it as you're working? And maybe in the editing process, how much did you have to distance yourself from it, and how much did you sort of learn about yourself from it, and that feeding back into the work itself? Bit of a complicated question, but I'm sure you can cope.
Well, I think I realised how obsessional, what kinds of obsessional characters I was interested in when I was writing The Smiling Affair. I mean, he's addicted to sandwiches, and that's really important to you. It was strange because in some ways Jay in The Smiling Affair is very similar to me on the surface. He is half Chinese, he has connections to San Francisco, my mother's Chinese family mainly live in San Francisco. But, you know, novels about ghosts, it's about, he can drive in The Smiling Affair, I can't drive. It's about ghosts, he solves crimes, and so on. I think I was very liberated by the subject matter I'd chosen. I think perhaps a more interesting example, and that this is one that seems to recur in short stories, is I often have a character who's the friend, the best friend of the narrator. and so on. And if I give that character the real name of a friend of mine, what happens is that that character becomes nothing like my friend. So maybe another part of your question, which I think connects with this, is you mentioned distance and time helping you understand what you're writing about. Playfulness, in a sense, you know, a willingness to experiment, to strike out into the void and see what comes out. I think that's important. And I suppose, for instance, that example of, let's say, naming a character Jeff, because I had a friend called Jeff, and the Jeff in the story ends up being nothing like Jeff in real life. Maybe if you are confident in that starting point, that gives you the wherewithal to sort of experiment and see what your imagination throws up. And given that I sort of preach a sense that we should structure everything a lot before we write, obviously this is slightly counter to that. And I suppose something I'm learning is how to balance the two processes more effectively, the sort of pre-planning, the premeditation, and also the willingness to experiment and to let the feelings come out and imbue the words you choose to put on the page. That's certainly something I'm still learning about. So I'm going to try and get back to writing by hand over the next few months to explore that process further. I don't know whether it will work or not.
We'll look forward to seeing it. Okay, has anybody got a question? Julia? The question was, if I got it right, you seem to write quite a lot about contemporary, certainly in the first collection, about the contemporary world. And was that something you were aware of, or was it a conscious plan for it?
In the comfort zone, I think so, yes. And there was a chance, I suppose this is one of the nice things about writing short stories, we hear reports of their resuscitation as a mainstream literary medium. We hear very pessimistic accounts that publishers still won't publish them the same way they publish novels. The nice thing about short stories is you can just spend a shortish moment addressing various topics. And I think in the comfort zone, I didn't want to write in a contemporary way as you describe. In The Smiling Affair, I think he's a very isolated character. And in that sense, Jay's issues are that he's probably lost inside himself. And so he never really gets a chance to sort of operate within mainstream society, mainstream culture. He's a layabout, as I said. And in that sense, there wasn't really room to address anything about society, the society we're living in today, in anything but a tangential way. And then now I'm writing about the 1920s. I think that was deliberately to sort of get away from this responsibility to comment on current times. I sometimes think writers are the worst people to comment on society. They're great at commenting on individuals and how individuals are conflicted. And then when conflicted individuals come into contact with other damaged, conflicted individuals, writers who are continually exploring characters' interior worlds have something, you know, very profound to say about this. But the person who spends all day sitting in their room thinking how to sort of re-describe the sky for the 100th time, I'm just not certain they have more to say than the Economist or the Financial Times about the real world, or A.C. Grayling or someone. That having been said, having been stuck in the 1920s for a couple of years now, when you do suddenly think, the state of the tubes today, or the state of the chart, you've got a really nice to actually have a chance to sort of say something about the sort of the times we're living in. So I guess short stories to sort of finish off the answer to that question would be the best place, just to sort of come up with a conceit and sort of execute the conceit sort of quickly and efficiently.
I'm very interested in what you're talking about, that you're being in the 1920s in a way to get away from writing about the contemporary. But do you find, as you're writing for the last 2 years about the 20s, you're still living in the noughties, as you said. Do you feel that you begin to write about current times even though you're in the setting of your current novel is about the 20s?
Well, the funny thing about it, I wish the sort of showman's answer, the salesman's answer would be, the 1920s are just like now. There were new technologies, telegrams were such that you could sort of ring your telegram in from the North Pole if you wanted, or collect your telegram or have it sort of delivered to your door. And so, in the sense that email and the internet has transformed our lives, I think telephony and, you know, the first automatic telephone exchanges were in Hoven around the corner in 1929. You know, technology and communications are changing our lives. Railways are allowing us to travel about 100 miles an hour. I don't think we can travel much quicker now, versus cars and so on. So I'd love to say, oh, you know, the great thing about this novel is that it shows the similarity between the 1920s and now. But my worry is I keep going the opposite way, and that though it's set in the 1920s, she sounds like the 1720s, and there's a lot of pursuit, my lady, you know. So I'm not worrying too much about it now. I mean, another reason why I wanted to write about the 1920s was that it seems to me the information age, writing thrillers in the information age is a particular kind of challenge, especially with digital technologies of various kinds. We should have Dorothy here to tell us about forensics and so on. And I just wanted to write a story that was about the mysteries that exist between human beings, rather than how human beings process information in order to sort of solve a case. So in that sense, I think I'm just trying to stay true to the characters and what they feel about the other characters in the novel and how they feel about themselves. And if these natural, shared characteristics of the 1920s and the 21st century come out, then that gives me extra ammunition, I suppose, in Q&A.
Okay, anybody? Oh, yeah, go ahead, Kavita.
What genre or category, if any, would you place your writing? Not a trick question.
Not a trick question for Peter, although the lady has protested too much, I think. What genre would you place your writing if you were forced to by Peter?
When I'm involved with scripts, I'm very interested in writing within genres. So I'm writing romantic comedy, as some of you know, and I'm not trying to write one of those innovative romantic comedies that is about how a penguin and a polar bear fall in love and save the world, and we discern that there are classic rom-com tropes sort of listed all through the script. It's, you know, it's going to be one of those girl and guy find each other, lose each other, find each other again in New York kind of project, which is meant to allow me to sort of free up what I do with fiction. But as it turns out, I'm sort of becoming more interested in thrillers, and the principal storyline of the novel set in the 1920s is about a jewel robbery gone wrong. So I guess I can't really get away with saying that I'm interested in writing thrillers. I'm interested in thrillers that when I say lit have literary prowess, I don't really mean that necessarily they have. Well, I necessarily can define what literary prowess is, but I am interested in writers who use words in the most effective way to deliver the message they're trying to communicate. So in that sense, I'm interested in the texture of the writing, as I think any writer would be, literary or otherwise. And there's a backstory about war and other parts of the world and sort of political, also social upheavals of the 1920s, which I think sort of belong to a more literary landscape rather than a thriller landscape per se. So thrillers plus.
That's fantastic. One more question. Anybody got something? Okay, well, thank you very much, Jeremy.
Thank you very much.
And there are some copies of The Smiling Bear available for £10. Thank you very much for reading for us, and thank you for asking our questions. As you may or may not know, we do this in conjunction with Oxfam, and somebody will be coming around with a celebrations tin that has no chocolate in it, but which you will fill with lots and lots of money, which will be donated to